Everybody, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We're here to you today to talk about how people can get along better with other people. What do you do when someone you care about seems angry with you and you know it's not your fault? What do you do when someone you know is angry with you, someone you love, somebody you care about, even if it's a coworker? And they act as if they're angry with you, or they express anger towards you, but you know you're not at fault. Has this happened to you? Somebody you work with or you live with just gets nasty, demeaning they could be. Critical of you, overly critical. Why did you do that? You made a mess, right? Your nose looks funny. Things that they could do. Or just nasty, you know, they could be stonewalling you, they could ignore you. No matter what you say to them, they just don't talk to you. Or they could be defiant. Whatever you say, they say the opposite of. Do you ever get this in an argument? I know people in arguments who do this a lot. Every time you say something, they say the opposite. So even if you say, and I've had patients who do this, who are in this argumentative mood, and I'll say to them, it seems that no matter what I'm saying to you, you're saying the opposite to me. You're disagreeing with me and saying it's not true no matter what I'm saying. And they say, that's not true. Do you ever have that happening? Mocking people who mock you. Oh, does that feel terrible? Scornful. They may even humiliate you in front of other people. You know, like they don't say anything to you. But when you're with other people, you know, they say something to you like, Lucy could lose a couple of pounds, too. Especially if you're Lucy. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind. Or they could get sarcastic, negative. The kind of treatment you do to somebody you dislike, especially like you might have done in elementary school or high school. Remember when you were when certain groups of kids were nasty to other groups of kids? That kind of thing. What do you do when someone acts like they can't stand you? Almost like you disgust them. That's kind of a feeling you get sometimes. They look at you with disdain and terrible feeling. Now, this can happen in a lot of different ways. A reason that someone is angry with you. One of the reasons a person can be expressing anger towards you is that they're angry all the time. Chronic anger. You know, chronic anger. If they're angry all the time, if they're the folks who blame everybody for everything all the time, and they're angry at everybody. Angry at everybody, and they're angry at you. And this is the way they are. This is the way they wake up. This is the way they go to sleep at night. They get angry at the bed. They get angry at the sun when it comes in the morning. They get angry at the air. They get angry at the government. They get angry at religion. They get angry at everybody. These are just downright ornery people. I'm not talking about them. Because those people, they clearly, you know, have a psychiatric disorder. They've got something wrong. And it could be psychological. But it could also be physical. I mean, they could have a tumor on the brain. They could have a disease. They could have a drop in their hormones. Something could be wrong with them. But the ones who are angry all the time, we're not talking about them because you can't reason with them. There's nothing you can do. Their anger is chronic. And it's almost like they're a wounded bird who feels defenseless in the world, and the way that it's going to protect itself is to keep barking. Well, birds don't bark, but yelling at everybody, right? It's going to keep pecking at everybody around. It's going to keep everybody at a distance, barking birds. Then there are the people who get angry on a regular schedule. It could be a monthly schedule, right, of some sort. You know, guys get sensitive just at a certain time of the month when the full moon is out, and they could become lunatics. Or sometimes when they drink alcohol. Sometimes people get real nasty when they drink alcohol. They can, you know, cocaine is known for that. I'm not talking about them either. We're not going to talk about people who are affected by either episodic monthly hormonal stuff or alcoholic or drug-induced stuff. Not that. Or we could be talking about a child who does what we call a meltdown. You know, the kid is tired or hungry and has a drop in blood sugar, and the next thing that you know, they start getting nasty and yelling, and you're the mother or father, and you see your kid melting down. Well, we're not really talking about them, but we could talk about them because they're kind of involved in this. Because you can manipulate a child into getting out of their anger. You could do it. I mean, you could feed them. You know, you could do any number of things. Okay, what do you do? Today we're going to talk about it. Today we will not address this chronic anger. You know, we're going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the monthly anger. That's another kind of thing. But we could include it. The knowledge you're going to get today may help you in dealing with those as well. I'm talking about the kind of irrational anger that occurs when a person blames you for something you never did or something you did in complete innocence. Like when someone blames you and gets angry over a dinner you prepare. You prepare a dinner and it tastes funny, right? Now, you spent your time preparing this dinner. It tastes funny. It's not your fault. I mean, it may be your fault, but you spent your time making the dinner. How do they get angry at you for this? How does someone get angry at you for that? Or sometimes you forget to do something. How does somebody get angry with you if you forget to clean their socks? You know? So how do you deal with that? You know, you go shopping, or when a child gets angry, or because you won't acquiesce to their wishes or desires, you know, mommy, why don't you get me that toy? And you won't get them the toy, and then they get angry at you. That kind of stuff. That's the stuff we're talking about. Or if your husband comes home from work and he starts being nasty and abusive, or your wife just seems totally irritable and she gets nasty with you, or your brother, your sister, or a coworker, the person in the booth next door acts nasty towards you, and you say, ah, what am I going to do about this? It's nothing I did. Well, how do you deal with this kind of anger? Well, this is the kind of thing we're going to explore, my friends, because you need tools. You need tools because I'm not at the mercy of it too much. You know, people tend not to get that kind of angry with me because, you know, I see through it. So maybe you could see through it. What do you do once that you realize that the anger that is facing you is unjust? Right? So what are the things you could do? You could get angry back, right? You could get right back even with them. You can get, feel it, and then get mad at them right away. That's one thing you could do. Or you could cry. Or you could ignore them. Or you could manipulate them. Now, the manipulation is an effort to disarm the artificial anger. You see, you want to disarm it. You want to kind of take it away. So the manipulation here is not a bad word. Like, for example, if you saw a puppy or a kitten who was hissing at you, right? So you get and you bring some food to the kitten. And the kitten is hissing at you and doesn't know you, and you're a stranger, and you bring it some food, and it eats the food, and now you can pet its head. You disarmed it. You know, you taught the kitten, you know, here's something nice. So you manipulate any way you could. That's a possibility. One way is to get the person out of their anger. You know, you could say to a person, let's go to a movie. Let's do something. Even if they're angry, you don't buy it. You know, you could even use sex. Many people do that to kind of disarm the person. You know, hey, let's go have a good time. That's what people do. I mean, couples do that. We have to look at it a little more closely. Step one, the most important ingredient in dealing with somebody who is angry with you, who you care about, or you want to cooperate with, but if they're confronting you or nasty with you, the first thing you do is you do not react with anger. Now, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you're a tough guy, you know? Like you just grew up, and where I grew up, if somebody gets angry, you get to get angry back. That's just the way it is. You had no choice. We were stupid. We were just automatics. If somebody pushed your button, you pushed their button back. But that's the first line. That's the line of the least intelligent. That is, they get angry at you, you get angry back. What could you do? You fight back. Anger plus anger equals two angers. That makes sense. Anger times anger equals anger squared. The square root of anger is 3.1415. No, just enough of that. Anyway, do not react to anger with anger. If you love somebody, this does no good. It escalates, and sometimes meaningless frustrations turn into hurtful words which make a permanent scar on the heart. You don't want to use those hurtful words. Now, you can overpower somebody. Somebody's acting nasty, nasty, nasty. Sometimes you could use a loud voice, vocally expressed anger, to shout them down. You know, they're doing the kind of niggly kind of anger, you know, this kind of moderate stuff. They're being nasty or they're being critical of you. And then you could just scream at them at the top of your lungs. And gee, you know, their little anger gets overpowered by your big anger. Sometimes you could do that. But when they're in this angry thing where they're coming right at you, do not try to greet it back. Because it's very hard for it to work. The only way you can get it to work is to truly overpower it by using that system. And you don't want to go there because that very often begets violence. You know, anger on top of anger divided by the square root. Okay. But how do you not react? How do you not react if you're attacked? How do you not react? What do? Well, here's option number two. And I'm not saying it's what you should do, but I want you to think about it. This is Armand DeMille, in case you just tuned in, with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, trying to save you heart attacks, strokes, all the other events that happen with not understanding yourself. Try to understand your own self. It's a good thing. Understand your reactions. It's a good thing. Well, here's the second thing you could do. You could cry. Somebody hurts you, you could weep. Now, this sounds weird, doesn't it? It's such a funny thing. People who get angry at other people never expect them to cry. You get nasty at somebody, you never expect the tears are going to come to their eyes. You never expect it. You think you're going to get away with it, you know? You shout at somebody, you don't expect them to well up. You expect them to fight back. But if someone hurts you, even with words, it is natural to express the pain that comes to the anger. You see, it's natural. If somebody hurts you, somebody hits you, you get a bruise. It hurts. You go, ouch. First thing, ouch. You know? Somebody yells at you, somebody calls you a name, somebody gets angry at you for no reason. It's natural to cry. But, you know, we men don't cry, right? We're not going to take the natural way. Of course, most people fear that what would happen if they showed their pain, which is not what I'm suggesting, by the way, it's just one of the options we have, is what happened to them as children. Now, get this, what happens to abused children. This is one of the great human traumas. I said trauma. what happens to them as children. To some people, they get hit. And then while they're being hit, they're told not to cry. Don't cry. How about this? I'll give you something to cry about. Don't cry. Now, why do you think parents tell kids not to cry when they're punishing them? Why do parents do that? Don't you want the kid to cry? If you're going to punish them, don't you want them to feel the pain? Or are you trying to get them not to feel the pain? You know? What's the idea? Don't cry. What are you afraid that if you cried, I might feel what I'm doing to you? I might start taking account of it? I might start saying, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm hitting my little child who I love. And they're crying. I'm really hurting them. No, don't cry. So don't cry so I can hit you more. Well, that might have happened when you were a kid, but we're not kids anymore. So if someone who we love gets mad at us, or even if someone we don't love gets mad at us, you could weep. Yep, you could. Imagine this scenario. Imagine if your boss yells at you and you weep. Tears well up in your eyes. He would be floored. And, of course, would not fire you. He couldn't possibly fire you. I don't mean you should break down in hysterical crying, but he yells at you, you did this piece of work wrong. And you let tears fill your eyes because that's probably what you really feel. Or you could be, you know, like certain people, I know you just defend yourself. The reason I did that was blah, 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 blah. The reason to make up excuses right away. Or you could lie, I didn't do it, John did it, right? Or you could get angry back. You shouldn't talk to me in that tone of voice, which is right, you shouldn't, but you can get angry back. Or you could overpower them, you yell at me like that and I'm going to punch you in the nose. Or you could cry. Now this is kind of interesting, because if your boss yelled at you and you cried, he would be floored, he'd fall on his bottom. Imagine if he had to, how could he fire you? Imagine if he had to go to his superiors and he had to explain, I yelled at her and she cried. That's why I'm firing her. Imagine if you took him to court. Just picture this. You take him to court where there's a woman judge. And the guy was, well, the reason I fired her is because I yelled at her and she cried. You know, you'd be happy to get out of there with all your parts intact. So the most natural response to pain is hurt. The next response to block the hurt is to get angry in response. But I want to make a case for showing the pain between couples. I want to make a case for people showing the pain. You know, it's a funny thing. When somebody yells at somebody in a workplace, the person who cries, people gather around the person who cries, and they get angry at the person who did the yelling. So even though it's a natural reaction, it's also kind of works at disarming the bullies. But that's not the idea. The idea, if you're in love with someone and they hurt you, is to show them that they hurt you. And it's a funny thing. It disarms them. When they see your tears, they crack. So the most natural response to pain is hurt. The next response is to help block the anger, and that's what people do, is they get angry in return. Well, once anger begets anger, and once you have two angry people yelling at each other, that everybody gets stupid. Here's a good hypothesis. Everybody who is nasty is a scared child. So imagine if you went around and you saw an angry person who was yelling at people and you said, what are you afraid of? Well, if you could get through their wrath, they would tell you what they're afraid of. If I were to address every person I ever met who I've seen angry and said to them, what are you afraid of? They would tell you what they're afraid of. I mean, sometimes it requires anger to get heard. Let's say you're on a protest march. Let's say you don't like what's going on in this country. Let's say you want to stand up and fight against the injustices in Haiti or anywhere in this world, and you want to stand up and you want to fight against it, and you do it vociferously and with anger, and you scream and you yell, do what's right, do what's just. You know, let's say you're doing that. Well, you're using your anger, and what's behind it is a fear. There's a fear, not just an act of justice. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of a world that does this. I'm afraid of a government that goes taking away people's freedoms. I'm afraid of it. I mean, there's fear behind the anger. But we usually don't acknowledge that. We usually acknowledge the justice and the anger as part of something just. But there's always fear in there somewhere. If you get anybody you know who's really angry, you could say to them, what frightens you? What frightens you? Come on, Steph, what frightens you? What's it about? And they'll melt if you love them. Now, one of the things you can't do is become a shrink. This is no good. Let's say you know a guy just talked to his mother. Then he hangs up the phone from his mother and he turns around at you, and you're his lady friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, any friend, and he yells at you. And he just hung up the phone with his mother and he yells at you. And you know that the reason he's angry at you is because he's really angry at his mother and he's taking it out on you. Well, you know, when things go like this and they go blind, you cannot expose the truth. It doesn't work. You can't say the reason you're mad at me is because you're mad at your mother. You know, then they get twice as mad at you because they're trying to hide the truth from themselves. So people who tend to act out, imagine, you know, teenagers who are destroying property and things like that. Well, they're angry at something else. They're not angry at the property. You know, when somebody decides to rip a room apart or destroy a park bench, which I've seen recently, you know, you what are you doing to that bench? Why? Well, you're mad at somebody else. You're not mad at the bench. You know, you imagine going over them and saying, you know, kitty, you got troubles with your father. Well, you'll become their father next. They come right after you. But they're not going to welcome. Nobody welcomes psychological insight that goes beneath their passions when they feel passionate about something. No, you've got to kind of invite them out of it. You've got to say, oh, you're really, really angry? Okay. First thing you do is validate them. You say, I recognize and I acknowledge, and you say, I see you. I recognize you're very angry at that. Yes, you're very upset by that. Oh, I see you got really upset by the dinner. You know? And then you think to yourself, okay, now here they are. They're overreacting to me having put broccoli in the salad when they wanted eggplant. They're overreacting. Now that you have a choice. If you love the person, you don't care. I mean, you're not wrong. So you could turn around and say, I'm sorry I put broccoli in the salad instead of eggplant. You could look at them and really look at them with all the sincerity in the world and say, geez, I won't put broccoli in the eggplant and in the salad ever again if you like eggplant. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. It's that simple sometimes. It's that simple because what you're doing in your heart is you're forgiving them. You're forgiving them for getting angry at you because you know you're not the target. So sometimes you let people have the room. And if people scream at you and say, you're unjust, you're wrong, there's something wrong with you, you know, and you did this to me because you're being malicious, sometimes you could just apologize. I mean, not that, you know, is it being untrue to yourself to apologize? Well, when somebody is angry at you for something you didn't do, it's the whole situation is wacky. So you use wacky to disarm wacky. I forget what movie it was in. It was, it was one of those crime movies where the guy, the way he disarmed criminals was he put his hat on backward and he made funny faces. I mean, he turned it into something, you know, when criminals would be facing him and they're threatening him or it was a hostage situation, he would just act goofy. Now, did that make him a dishonest man? Well, yeah, but he was disarming craziness by doing something. So these are some of the techniques he can use. This is just another one, is to apologize. And now I'm going to give you magic words. Magic words. And then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to take your calls, and then I'm going to give you more information about this. Okay? The magic words, you should write these down exactly as I tell you, my friends. Get a pencil. Well, you see, you're not getting a pencil. I'm going to give you a weapon. Here's a tool. Here's an instrument. You got a pencil? Now get your paper. Get it ready to write it down. Don't think you're going to remember it. There is something I seem to be doing. Write that down. There is something, I seem to be doing that's pissing you off. You could say making you angry, but pissing you off is better. Can you tell me what it is? Okay, there is something that I seem to be doing that is pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I could stop it? So I could stop it. These exact words. This is magic. Stop. Can. Stop it. Let me see if you wrote it down. Can. Stop it. Okay, there is something I seem to be doing that's pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I could stop it? Oh, my gosh, what a powerful thing this is. What a powerful thing. You don't rephrase this. Don't change the words. Because what you're saying to somebody is, you seem bent out of shape, and you have me targeted. So tell me what it is that I'm doing that is making you feel this way. Now, you see, a lot of times when people are angry, they don't want to admit that their anger is meaningless, that they're just bent out of shape. They don't want to admit that. This brings them down to it. So what you do is you surrender, you roll over. There seems to be something that I'm doing that's pissing you off. Can you tell me what it is so I can stop doing it? I'll stop doing anything that's causing you to get this angry. Because in truth, I would. If the person said, well, stop waving that knife above your head. Well, okay, I'll stop waving this knife above my head. You know, what else? Stop yelling at me with garlic on your breath. Okay, I'll take some pills. But they may tell you something like, you know, what they'll usually do is they get flustered. It's just your general attitude, they will say to you, and you say, well, whatever it is. But try not to mock them when you're doing it. Try not to show them that they're a fool. Try not to say to them, you know, okay, tell me specifically what I did and what time did I do it and how did I do it and do you remember when I didn't do it? No, none of that. None of that. You're gonna take this one on. You're going to give yourself no weapons. And you're just going to say to them the following words, my friends, this is magic. Like I told you before, statazit, that's one kind of magic. Here's the other kind of magic. There is something that I seem to be doing that is pissing you off. Can you please tell me what it is so I could stop doing it? Easy enough, my friends. And it's perfectly natural never to want to expose your weaknesses. Like, you know, an animal in the world, our ancestors, if they were wounded, they would never want other animals to know that they were vulnerable. So when we say there's something I'm doing that's upsetting you, please tell me what it is and I'll stop it, we're admitting to our own vulnerability. We're saying you could, I'm going to be all wrong and I'm going to be open-bellied and therefore you could hurt me. So it goes against the nature, which is primitive nature is never to show when you're wounded, never to show when you're vulnerable. In this case, when you're dealing with people who are irrationally angry, you're using vulnerability. Just like, you know, in many animals, I think the wolf does that, doesn't it? The wolf, when it's fighting with a bigger wolf, sometimes it exposes its belly and it says, go ahead, I'll prove to you that you win. Here's my belly, and if you're going to chew me up, chew me up. And most of the time, the big wolf doesn't chew you up. So we have in nature another mechanism which says, I will expose my vulnerability to you, therefore don't hurt me anymore. You know, or don't, you don't have a need to hurt me. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with more of this wonderful stuff. With you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about anger. We're talking about people who get angry with you, and they don't seem to be justified. And so how do you handle them? Well, here's one thing that's very important. You do have to ask yourself, could it possibly be true? Could what they're saying annoys them possibly be true? Am I really doing something that is making them angry because, and I don't know I'm doing it. Like, for example, passive-aggressive anger. You're always late for something. And you're always late, and you're always late, and you're always late. No matter what time you agree to show up, you're late. Right? You say, I'm going to be there at 8:30, you show up at 9 o'clock. You say you're going to be there at 9 o'clock, you show up at 9:15. Now, that is something that when you think about your own, you say to yourself, well, it's the traffic. You know, it was the plane, it was the taxi cab, or it was her fault, or she didn't tell me what time. And you get all kinds of stuff like that, you know. But really, that's called passive-aggressive anger. It's one of the ways that people who are angry, people who don't feel comfortable showing their anger, reflect their anger by making another person powerless because they're waiting for you. So it's a way of getting even. Now, you see, you wouldn't know that. Otherwise, you know, if you said, I'm going to be late for this appointment, I'm really angry at the person, then you wouldn't be late. So really, passive-aggressive anger is something that is very difficult to expose to yourself because you don't want to see yourself as angry. But, you know, if someone said to you, you're always angry, and it gets me angry, you're always late. And you're late again, and we missed the train. You're late again, and we can't go to the theater. You're late again, and, you know, we can't get our stuff done. And I'm angry about that. Well, you know, you got to think about it for a little bit and say to yourself, is it possible that what they're saying is just? So that's a possibility. So another way to deal with anger when people are angry with you, and this is a very good thing, is to say, you know, I want to think about that. I hear what you're saying. I want to think about it. I want to consider that. Whatever you're saying, you know how to, you're going to run this company into the ground. You're always doing the wrong projects, you know. And instead of responding to somebody at the moment, say, I want to think about it. Give me a little while to think about that before I respond to you. And during that time, you know, you actually disarm them, number one. You validate them, number two, because you, in a way, are saying, I hear what you have to say. And the third thing you do is you actually take into consideration that what they may be saying may be valid. Because it can't be that, you know, people get, if the same people get angry at you, or if different people get angry at you over and over again about the same thing, then you got to be suspicious about yourself. That maybe you're doing something that's creating this. So that's who steal money from their mother's purses, which is a common thing. So one of the things you could do is you could say to yourself, you know, maybe this is me at fault, maybe it is. But also when somebody gets angry at you, sometimes it's like a dog. It's like a dog who barks at you when he's done something wrong, like ripped up your slippers. when they get nasty. Sometimes they don't run away, they just get nasty in response. Sometimes children who steal from their mother's purses act nasty with their parents, almost as if to distract them. So very often the angriest people are people who are stealing. And this is the problem. You have to deal with larceny. You have to deal with something else going on behind that anger that's coming at you. And you have to be really the wisdom of Solomon to kind of unearth what's really happening. That's why you can't always respond to the content of an anger with the content of it, you know? Look if they're very nervous. Sometimes people get angry when they get nervous. Like if somebody drinks a big cup of coffee, you know? And then suddenly they get hit with all that caffeine. They can become very nervous. And then they get irritable. We call it irritable, but it could be angry. And if you're in the crosshairs, boom, you get it. Look for depression with anger. Sometimes anger is a way of stopping you from falling into the abyss when you're depressed. Depressed people will very often scream out. They're screaming help, but they do it in the form of getting angry at you. So the more you look for it, the more you could understand. And the more help you could be both to yourself and to them. 212-209-2900. Remember, tenderness will eventually be the solution. The eventual solution of everybody who's angry is tenderness. That's all the way down the line. How you get to that tenderness is not easy. It won't work if you do it right away. It may not work when you do it right away. But your eventual goal, if you have a child who's having a meltdown and they're screaming at you because you won't buy them a toy, at the end of all that, you want to be able to put your arms around that child and say, you know, honey, even though I can't give you everything in the world, I love you so much. And that child will feel that love. And they'll be okay. Let's take a moment or two to talk about the other side of this, and the other important side of this. I guess we'll have to forego the calls for today. The other side of it is, what if you are the person who is dealing with your own irrational anger, and you know it's your irrational anger that you're dealing with? So what is irrational? How do you know it? Well, you know it because it won't stop. It won't stop. You're angry and it builds. You're angry and it builds. You're angry and it builds. Sometimes it can be cut off at the pass. The best example I know of this is when you get a couple. And in the couple, there are two people who tend to be pretty strong. And if in the couple you have people who have had bad experience with apologies. Now, let me give you an example of this. Many children, you know, when many people were kids, if they were accused of doing something wrong and they apologized and they admitted to it, if they admitted to it, they got punished. As a result of that, they never admitted to it. One of the forms of never admitting is never apologizing, even when you're wrong. So let's say you have a couple and one person does something that is costly to the other. It's a mistake. Okay, I'll give you an example. Man went to pick up his wife. She had her cell phone turned off. He was supposed to call her and tell her where he had parked. Her cell phone was on vibrate. He called her again and again. He was being chased by the police every time he parked somewhere. And for 45 minutes, he was kind of trying to locate her. Her cell phone was off. She finally finds him, gets in the car, and she was feeling pretty chipper. And he gets in the car and he says, "Where was your cell phone?" And she says, "It was on vibrate." "I guess it was on vibrate." What he needed at that moment was an appreciation for the fact that he had just gone through some grief. What she might have seen when he sat down is that, you know, he was a little disturbed. He was upset. She didn't see that. What happened instead was she got in some kind of a defensive mode. She didn't recognize him. She didn't acknowledge it from the tone of his voice. Whatever it was, she sensed, "I'm going to take a stance." It was on vibrate. He then goes on to talk to her about all the inconveniences, about how many times she sloppily puts her phone on vibrate when he needs to reach her and when it's consequential. And he pursues it, and she just, you know, starts getting more and more defensive, and he winds up angry and using all kinds of foul language. And she's saying, "Why are you reacting so hard to all this?" He said, "Because you just didn't say, 'I'm sorry.'" You never said I'm sorry. And she said, well, I told you the phone was on vibrate, and it went back. It goes back to it again. What was the I'm sorry about? The I'm sorry is not capitulation. The I'm sorry is an acknowledgement that the other person felt some pain. Regardless of what they went through, whether it was your fault or not, I'm sorry if you were any part of the chain that caused them pain, the chain of pain. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to subjugate yourself or you have to really turn yourself over, but the apology makes a difference. Now, but what if you're on that other side of it where you feel the steam boiling and you don't know why the steam is boiling and you want to let it go, but you can't let it go. And everything your partner says is wrong. Whatever they're saying is defensive. Whatever you're saying just is not filling the bill. It's not working. And you keep getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And a part of your brain is asking you, please bail me out of this. Let me out of this. Don't let me be so angry. I don't want to be this angry. And you can't stop yourself. You get angrier and angrier yet. I am sure you found it. Now, what's going on here? One is it could be the situation. It could be sometimes a person does suffer and they look for the other person to just acknowledge it. But there could be a lot of things that you bring to the table. One of the things that you could bring to the, quote, table is that you could be, you might have had a bad night of sleep. You might not have slept well the night before. You might have had some chemical imbalances going off with you. You could be premenstrual or premonstrual. You know, whatever your condition is, you could be a man who just had 6 cups of coffee sitting in a car waiting, or you could be somebody who was just personally irritated that day. You may have other pressures on your mind that you bring to the moment. So there could be other things working on you, but when you're in the middle of a battle with someone you love, when you're being angry with someone you love, you forget all these things because you're lost in that argument. It's almost like the body wants a fight. Now, this is very important because angry people seem to have some metabolic or chemical mandate to make war, and that they're not relieved until they're in the middle of a war. And many of you know that because you could call it we have a word called cathartic, which means that it's an emotional expression that yields some sense of comfort. Many of you know how often you will feel just in a pissy kind of mood and you blow off some steam, and they call it blowing off steam, and then you feel better again. They call it blowing off steam. I mean, why is it called blowing off steam? What does that mean? It means that there's a pressure built up inside of you. That means there's a fire burning inside you. And sometime, it needs release. Now, if there was something painful inside of you that needed release, where would you turn to let it go? You know what you do as teenagers, young teenage boys, when they feel the pressure that's growing inside of them? They masturbate. Then as you, an adolescent, you look for sex and you search for sex. And you use sex as your release. And I believe sexual addiction is finding a pressure valve through sex. And many men of high pressure tend to use it. But if you don't have that and instead you have a relationship with somebody, how will you release the pressure? And I'm not saying this is right to do, but what people tend to do is they tend to release the pressure by having an argument somewhere where it's going to be safe. You don't want to go to a bar and have a fist fight because you could get hit and you could have your teeth smashed in and then you won't be able to go to work. So what do? You go home and you take it out on your mate. Now, you could be a woman feeling rage. You could be premenopausal. You could be perimenopausal, you could be premenstrual, or a man who is built under his own pressures or his own hormonal or chemical pressures. You feel this need to get to the point of rage. And then by going to the point of rage, you need to take it somewhere, but there's no place safe to take it. You can't even take it to the gymnasium. A lot of people go to the gym and they use a punching bag, but it's not good enough. You want to hurt something, somebody. The feeling on the inside of somebody who is enraged is almost a good feeling. It's a terrible feeling because you feel out of control. But on the other hand, it's a fascinating feeling. You're fascinated with how far it could go. You get on, you know, before we talked about the chain of pain, here's another expression I like, the blame train. You get on the blame train, and the blame train is you start holding somebody else responsible for everything. You. And the train starts going, you. You, 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 you. And they keep saying, and you do this, and then you did this, and then you did that, and you always, and you always hear the words always and never. Two words get thrown in with you. And it's a symphony of you and never and always, and it's thrown at you in such a way, and so you try to defend yourself in some way. You throw up a roadblock. No, that's not true. Last week I brought you flowers. Yeah, but you didn't buy the right flowers. And this is not just women doing it. This is men doing it equally as well, finding fault with their mates and just plastering the other person. Is this what the deal is? Is mating relationship mean I get somebody to kick around when I feel bad? Well, maybe it is. The blame train. You get on the blame train and it goes and goes and goes because it has that steam engine. Remember blowing off steam? So it's a blame train run on a steam engine, right? Which is going on the tracks of pain. You have this image, and now the blame train is chicka chicka, you, whoop, whoop, and you're letting go of the steam, and you're even fighting. Maybe your mate is fighting back, and it's terrific, and you even threaten physical violence. And shut up, I don't want the kids to hear this, and I'm walking out, I'm going to leave, and all threats of abandonment and everything. And it's almost like having sex, you know what I mean? It's like it's an incredible fire that builds up and it ends in some kind of a crescendo. Now, here's the thing, my friends. Anger like this usually lasts 22 and a half minutes. Yep, there's something about the metabolism of the human body that goes for about 22 and a half minutes. And if you just let it go and let it go and let it go, it's going to blow itself out. People who are enraged eventually burn themselves out. So the other side of this is for you to understand that when you get in this place, you are out of control. Your train is running rampant. It's doing damage. You're going to have to buy a lot of flowers and make up a lot of good things for this thing that you've done, for the mess you've created. But, of course, if you have difficulty with apology, that's not going to work either, because then you're going to just kind of continue it and keep it going. You know, we all have a fascination with rage. Many people abhor it, but you ever watch the animal chapters when you see an animal that's going after another animal and ripping its throat out and stuff like that? You know, I was with some teenagers the other day. This is what they wanted to see more than anything on television. They wanted to see the leopard going after the baboon and eating up the baboon. They wanted to see fights. They love seeing fights. We switched during the commercial to a channel that was showing manatees swimming. And they said, oh, no, go back to the leopards. We have a fascination with rage because we want to feel this uncontrolled sense of self. And when a person can let go of that uncontrolled sense of self and release themselves, there's something about it that is very pleasant. I don't want to be on the side of having that unexpressed rage because I don't want to do the damage that it does. The blame train, the chain of pain, is not the kind of thing I want to do. I don't want to do it because it hurts, and the people it hurts for a long time. And it has them separate from us somewhat. I want to be able to step aside from my own rage to see myself and say, okay, I'm caught in this. I think I better stop right now and not say anything. And what I need is to have a partner, and what you need is to have a partner who, once you identify that you're out of control with your rage, who says, okay, let's just take a break now and doesn't move to perpetuate it or keep it going. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I hope these on the good side. On the good side, the good news is the following. Once you go through this together, once you get to the point where you see flare-ups, and you see the flare-ups as being just strange things that happen in your relationship, and you let them pass and you don't focus on the content, and you say, okay, that was a flare-up blowing off steam. That was the blame train passing through. You wind up closer than you ever even imagined. Once you put down your weapons, and you neither have a need for revenge or a need to continue an attack, once you take off your armor, you're more naked with each other, and it's a far more beautiful relationship. So my friends, the plan is to work it through. Don't just give up. Don't give up. There's a way through all of it, and the understanding of it is certainly, certainly more positive for you. This is Armand DeMille. I'll be back with you soon. It's been a pleasure being with you today. And if you want to contact me, you can go to armand@thepositivemind.com, and you can hear a rebroadcast of today's program at www.thepositivemind.com. You could also hear it on the website of WBAI.org. WBAI holds it up there for a few days. The website holds it up there for weeks on end. Be back with you soon, my friends. Bye-bye for now.
Harlem Debate number 2.